Amen. I appreciate the privilege to just be here. But the privilege to preach here is just wonderful, and I appreciate it. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, and we'll begin reading at verse number 1. And kind of give you some context of where we're at. These are difficult times for the Lord. The religious leaders are already plotting how they're going to put him to death. He was in the home of Simon the leper. I guess you should say Simon the ex-leper. And he was surrounded by his critics and by his enemies. And this woman comes in with her ointment. And she's going to anoint the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to cause some reaction. You know, anytime you really desire to do something for the Lord or worship the Lord, it's going to cause a reaction, either good or bad. And but the Lord took up for this woman and her efforts. And I want to concentrate on that and try to share for a few minutes on the woman that did what she could do. In Mark chapter 14 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "And after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the ex-leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. Listen, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She's come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying." She knew something. She was getting something that Jesus had been proclaiming for a long time that even the disciples hadn't got yet. He was going to die. He was going to Calvary. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Just a couple quick points here. Number one, this lady did what she could with what she had. Amen. She had this little box of ointment. You know, as you go through life and in the church, and not just in church, in life in general, a lot of people think of what they would have done if they were there. Some people, because they don't think of the idea or they just don't care enough to do it, they'll gripe about what other people do. And then some people complain about what other people don't do. They won't do it, but they'll complain about other people that won't do it. This woman did something. She did something. She had bought and brought an alabaster box of ointment. The Bible says it was very precious. A very expensive offering, they say, that was imported from India. It may have been, a jar would have cost an annual year's salary. Amen. This was more than tithing. Yes, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Like Brother Tom's preached, yes. she stepped in the offering plate.
Amen.
She gave more than a tithe. She gave lavishly. She gave lovingly. Why? Because she loved the Lord. And she was not ashamed to show the love of the Lord openly. Brother Steve always puts this point here. We ought to praise the Lord. We ought to worship the Lord. I told my church last night, I was thinking about Taylorsville. I said, I like something Brother Steve says. He says that there's not going to be much worship going on at Calvary unless he gets in on it. Well, we need to get on it. This woman didn't just sit back. She got in on it. She did something. Number two, she did what she could while she could do it. She knew the Lord was not going to be around very much longer. That's something the disciples, and she anointed him to his burying. Listen, you've always got people that are going to do something for the Lord sometime. A lot of people are going to do something tomorrow, but tomorrow never comes. They're going to get closer to the Lord next time, but next time never comes. You invite people to church. They'll come the next time. They'll give the next time. A lot of people are waiting on just the right time. But the Bible says something about sometimes you just need to step out and just do it. Some are waiting for perfect conditions. This woman didn't wait. She didn't ask. She acted immediately. She didn't wait till after he was dead. You remember there were some people that came to anoint his body after he was dead. She didn't want to wait till then. She wanted to give him something while he could recognize what she was doing. She wanted him to know what she had done. Let me say this. Say some kind words to people while they can still hear them. Amen. Many a time we've been to funeral homes and you've seen people stand over cold bodies and weep wet tears. And I love you and I promise you and all this, but they never would say them when they were alive. I love gospel music, especially I like bluegrass gospel. I love the Primitive Quartet. And last year, about last October, Norman Wilson died. And I went to the funeral up at Trinity. Boy, it was something else. But they had written a song, I guess, on their last album, and the title of that song was just three simple words. And basically that song talks about if you have somebody you love, you need to tell them while they can hear it. Don't wait till it's too late. The Bible said that song says there may come a day when you'd give anything if you could have just one more chance to hold them up close and say these three words. And it says you better do it before it's too late. Tell somebody, do something good while people can enjoy it. Give people their flowers while they're living. Amen. While they can still smell them. Yesterday was Father's Day. I hope you took time to tell your father that you love him, you appreciated him. Act today, tomorrow might be too late. Then thirdly, she did what she could regardless of what the critics thought. Amen. Verse 9 says that they had indignation against themselves. They got all tore up on the inside. That didn't give her a Malox moment. She kept doing what she was going to do. There's always going to be critics. I was telling Brother Larry, we was coming up the road today, and I said, I was talking about Brother Steve, Brother Roy, and Brother Jamie. I said, that camp meeting's a big deal. A lot of responsibility, more than we just see. And I'm sure they have people that criticize, and if they was over it, they'd do it this way, or they'd do it that way. There's always, some people are expert complainers. That's what they live for. They live to find fault in other people. But they don't have mirrors in their house because they can't find no fault in themselves. They specialize in it. They probably said something about the way she break the box. She could have given part of it and then give the other half. Or if I was doing it, I would have done it this way. Some people are always worrying about the cost. Worrying about what it was going. Well, that was a year's salary. And she done went and poured it all out. She didn't worry about the cost. You know why? Amen. Because she figured that Jesus was worth the cost. Amen. Amen. She was going to do all she could do for him because he was going to do something on the cross for her that she couldn't do for herself. Amen. He was going to bring salvation to her, something that money can't buy, something that there's no way we can earn. But she said he's worth the cost. Amen. She's worth doing something for. He's worth doing this. She felt that honoring him was worth any sacrifice that she had to make. Amen. Anything she had. Notice this. She gave him her very best. Very best. It cost her something. And I'm not exactly sure where I got this quote from. It sounds like something Spurgeon would say, but I'm not going to say it was his. But I love this. Said he, talking about Jesus, he cast his shield over the poor, unpractical woman, who did such an utterly useless thing, for which a basin of water and a towel would have served far better. Then he said this, there are a great many useless things which in heaven's estimate are more valuable than a great many apparently more practical ones. Yeah, a towel and water would have done it. But the oil done it better. In heaven's view, it was worth more than 300 pence. In heaven's, matter of fact, heaven thought so much about it when the Holy Ghost inspired, he said, I'm just going to write this down in the book, and every time this gospel's preached, it's going to be told what this woman done here today. Hey, God liked that. Hey, if you want to make somebody happy, brag on their kids. If you want to make Brother Steve happy, brag on Jordan.
You want to make God happy, brag on his son. Brag on. Hey, God won't get, matter of fact, a lot of folks, and I'm not against the Holy Ghost, don't get me wrong. A lot of people like to make a lot of the Holy Ghost. Well, he ought to be made a lot of. But you know what? The Bible said when he come, he'd make much of Jesus. He'd brag on Jesus. He'd point people to Jesus. And that's where we need to put our focus. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. Now notice this, she did what she could for Jesus. Her motive was right. She didn't do it to be seen. She didn't do it to have people pat her on the back and said, what a good woman you are. No, she was unselfish. Unselfish. She acted out of compassion. This man was going to be hanging on a cross, bleeding and dying for the sins of the world. And she knew that. Verse 8 said she knew, Jesus said, she has done what she could. She's come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. You know why Jesus could say that? Because Jesus knew exactly what she was thinking. Amen. Jesus not only knows what we do, Jesus knows why we do what we do. You can help old ladies across the street and buy Girl Scout cookies, but God knows why you really do it. Are you doing it for the cookies or are you doing it to help somebody out? Our motives are going to be tried as much as our works are tried. Why do we do what we do? I'm a little preacher. But I've been to just a couple ordinations, and people, when I pray with somebody at ordination, somebody told me when they ordained me, and I try to pass along, you know, any of these little words of wisdom we give people. And I tell these preachers this: remember why you do what you do, and remember who you're doing it for. Because if you're doing it for people's applause, if you're doing it for people to pat you on the back and tell you how good you are, that's going to wear off after you've been to church about a year. I mean, that after a while they're going, but if you do it for Jesus, if you're motivated the right way, it won't matter to you if they tell you, if they talk about how good you've done, if they talk about how you come and visit them or not. If you did it for the right reason and heaven's glad, you'll be glad you did it. She knew he'd come to die. Let me give you this real fast. This woman did this, and that's the great example for us. There were three consequences that followed this woman's act. First, the house where they were sitting at of Simon the leper was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. You know, there's always a spiritual fragrance in a place where Jesus is loved and worshiped. There's just something about when he's around. It changes the atmosphere. Where true worship is, it changes the atmosphere. If you can get somebody that's just hooked up just right, they can come into a dead church and change the atmosphere. Amen. Amen. And it may not be the one that shouts the loudest and jumps the highest either. But you can come in and change it. Listen, that Jesus was loved there. Secondly, the disciples, with Judas being the main mouthpiece, criticized this woman. They said she wasted her money. You know, that sounded real pious. Sounded real reverently for Judas to talk about the poor. John chapter 12, verse 4 through 6 said Judas just wanted the money himself. We can't always tell people's motives, but God always knows their motives. Even in the upper room, 6 days later, the disciples still thought Judas was a good one. They still thought he was thinking about helping the poor. Jesus knew the whole time who Judas was. Jesus, have I not chosen 12 of you and one of you is a devil? God read his book. This is kind of interesting too. That word translated waste here in verse number 4, that word is translated perdition in John chapter 17, verse 12, and it's applied to Judas. This woman was being accused, he was accusing Mary of wasting money, but Judas wasted his whole life. Walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, watched everything he did, kissed the door of heaven and turned and went to hell. He wasted his life. Then lastly, Jesus commended her and he accepted the sacrifice. Jesus knew Judas's heart. He understood the disciples had not got it. The disciples give me hope, Brother Steve, because Jesus to teach them something. He'd tell them something, and he'd be like, do you have it? And they'd be like, yep. And next day they'd have, you know, when he'd talk about bread, he's mad because we didn't bring bread with us. They forgot he had just fed 5,000. You know, and they give me hope because I think, you know, I've got this, and then I realize I don't have this. like Brother Daniel's talking about. We think, and then you think, this thing's handling me, I'm not handling it. But this woman had done what she could. That Jesus said, the disciples still don't know Judas like I do, but Jesus knew Mary's heart. No matter what other people might say about what you do, about your worship, about your service, the most important thing is are you pleasing the Lord? Are you, listen, other people are going to misunderstand you. They're going to criticize you, but that shouldn't keep you from worshiping, praising God. That shouldn't keep you from doing what you can. Listen, don't worry about the approval of people. Worry about the approval of God. The Lord rewarded this woman's sacrifice of love. And I want to ask you this question as I'm going to my seat. What will you do with what you have for Jesus? Amen. Everybody's been given a measure of something. And God don't require of us more than he gives us. But are you willing to give him what is rightfully his? Then I'll ask you this. When you make that decision, yeah, I'm going to do something for the Lord. I'm going to worship God. When are you going to do it? There's people that have come to this camp meeting and revival meetings a long time, and every year I guess they say, well, I'm going to sell out this year. I'm going to get in. I'm not going to sit and listen this year. I'm going to get in on it. When? Now'd be a good time. Amen. Now'd be a good time. If you're ever going to do anything for the Lord, you better start. You should have started yesterday. But you'll never lose out what you give to God. You'll never lose out. I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate being here, Brother Steve. Thank you.